Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
My name is Tim Barton. I'm the lead pastor here at The Vine, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to come this morning. You know what? I'm going to do something real quick. Really just out of order, but just pause just a minute. Pray with me. I forgot one thing, okay? And this is like I'm at home. Let's pray just a minute. Lord, we pray for Pastor John today as he is preaching at a sister church in our community, and we just ask that in the same ways we prayed for everyone else, Lord, that you'd give him joy in that. Thank you for the gift he has in just sharing your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, back to where we were. I want to start with something that's uncomfortable. I want to start with something that makes me hesitate to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right. I want you to raise your hand. This is why it gets uncomfortable, right? If you've ever looked at someone else in judgment. Okay. Did you look around the room for a minute? There's a reason we do that we need to do that today. Because what we're going to talk about today is really hard. And it's hard because the reality is, if you looked around the room, we all raised our hands. Okay? And it's this idea of judgment. What we're going to see today is that those living intentionally in God's kingdom will be merciful in our judgment. Those living intentionally in God's kingdom are merciful in their judgments. This doesn't mean that every time you're going to be merciful. This means that if we're living intentionally in His kingdom, surrendered to Him, we are going to be growing in this desire to be merciful and in the actual action of it. Okay, so let's go straight to God's Word this morning. This is actually going to be our last sermon in this series. Next week we'll begin in Advent. But we're in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. As we're there, I remind you that this is God's Word. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. All right. Again, those living intentionally in God's kingdom are merciful in their judgments. To understand that, we need to see that there are three things, I think, in this passage, these verses we looked at this morning. And we need to see these three things together, or it might even look like Jesus is contradicting himself. So let's look at those for a minute. The first thing Jesus says is do not judge. All right? Now, most people in America, even outside the church, right, most people in America would say, if you ask them, what did Jesus say? What is something Jesus said? You're normally going to get people who haven't been around the church at all. You might get love your neighbor. You might get that one. And you will get don't judge, right? If they know anything, and that's all they know, that will come out. But it's often misapplied to be license or to be rationale to be able to do anything we want to do. Can't judge me, right? I can do what I want to. As long as it's right for me, as long as it's under the category of my truth. And then many would say that other people, no one else has the right to tell them if anything they're doing is bad. And again, we say, don't judge me. Resonating with me so far? So before we talk about what this does mean, we need to take just a minute and talk about what it doesn't mean. Okay, because of that cultural backdrop we live in. So what does it not mean? Jesus is not telling the disciples, and he's not telling us that we are to be unwise. Right, he's not saying that we should never exercise good judgment. He's not forbidding critical thinking. He's not saying be blind to others' sin. He's not saying let someone wreak havoc in your life because they've quoted Jesus to say, well, you can't judge me so I can do what I want to. Remember the context. Right, we've been in this for a long time now. The context is that Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. There are his disciples and many other people following him around, right? And they've been listening to Jesus preach this sermon. Now, on the outsides of the crowd, and maybe even sneaking in and a little closer, you have the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the Jews. Remember who they are. They're the people that have made up their own religious rules, adding to the law of God. And not just adding to, but changing the meaning of the law of God, misinterpreting it. And they were saying that people needed to follow that so that they could have some sort of super righteousness type thing. They were making themselves the arbiters of truth. And it's in that context that Jesus began teaching about the kingdom of God. Now again, last sermon in this series, I want to just remind us one more time of our definition of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is seen with the realization of God's rule and the submission to God's reign in the hearts and lives of his people. And the word I keep using to summarize that is surrendering to him. But the religious leaders were teaching people that their way was better. They were saying they didn't want themselves to submit to or to surrender to God's reign in their hearts. They wanted to figure it out themselves, say that this is how you do things. And so they were seeking to get others to submit to their way, and they were holding it over the heads of others who wouldn't surrender to their way. And so their way was full of looking down on others, of thinking themselves as the ones who should be able to judge. Jesus, in that context, says, don't judge. Right? So what does he mean? Well, I think what he starts to show us is that judging others with a critical heart is a serious matter. Right, so the first thing under this, do not judge. First thing it means, I think he gives a serious caution. All right. Let me say this. Look at verses 1 and 2. And as we do that, Jesus is saying, this is super serious. Those who are intentionally living in God's kingdom should understand the serious nature of it. Look at verse 1. Again, judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So Jesus is saying, this is very serious. Because the way you judge others is how you're going to be judged. If you're holding others to some standard that says, I'm better than you, or my way is better, or you need to be reaching this, whether it's by looking at someone and saying, you'll never get to where I am, or it's by looking at someone and thinking, oh, you think you're so great and mighty, but I'm better because I'm not like you. Either way, we need to be really careful. Because Jesus is teaching that while the Pharisees seem to think they hold the authority on truth and behavior, and they think that because they're quoting Scripture all the time, and they do know the Scriptures, but they're taking again and misapplying it, they think that because of that, they can be the one who judges how well someone else is doing. They thought they were great at keeping God's law. And so they thought they wanted to be judged on that. Instead of being judged by the grace and work of God that had been promised to come. And if that's how they wanted to treat things, how they wanted to approach things, how they wanted to deal with others, Jesus is telling them things are going to get real serious real fast. Now, the part we don't look forward to. When we do this very thing, the caution for us is the same. Think about it for a second if we carry this to its logical conclusion. All right? How many of you actually want God to judge or measure you by the attitude of your heart towards others? Not real fun to think about, is it? Kids, you know, you maybe with your brothers and sisters, and you hold them to this high standard, and you want them to be like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, and we just keep harping on our brothers and sisters, right? Or adults. Maybe it's with your loved ones, those close to you. Maybe with family or neighbors at Thanksgiving coming up. With others in the church around you. I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and I'm like, how often, maybe y'all are better than me, but you know, you get together with extended family, you're like, I don't know why you make that meal that way, right? Or, you should only smoke the turkey because that's the best way to do it. It is, but that's okay. I'm just kidding. Kidding. The reality is that we do this. And y'all, I'm only talking about our hard attitude towards people we like, right? We're not even talking about those outside of that. Think about it when we stretch it that far. And so Jesus is saying this is a serious caution. And then he gives a practical example. All right, verse 3 and 4. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? Now, before we get to what Jesus means about this, I want you to think very practically with me about this for a minute. All right? So, let's say you have your friend here, right? You see, very practically, you see their eye start watering. There's something in their eye. And so you go over to help them. You need to get close. You need to be able to see what's there to be able to help them get this speck out of their eye, right? But if you have a log in your own eye and you go close to them to try to help them, what are you going to do? You're going to beat them with that log, right? And you can't see because there's a log in your eye, right? It's a very practical example that Jesus is using here. And as we say that, Jesus is saying, those living intentionally in my kingdom, as part of my people who are surrendered to me, don't walk around looking for faults in others to point out. We're not walking around thinking of ourselves as better than others or of our way as better than everyone else's, looking for things to tell them they're wrong about. Or we're not scrolling through social media looking for people to correct because their views are wrong. We're not embellishing situations or assigning to other people faulty motives and faulty desires. Now, here's the reality. We all wrestle with it. We all struggle with it. But do we call it the sin that it is? And ask the Lord to reveal it. And so when we sense that, do we stop and we say, Lord, I know this is sin. Change my heart here. Or do we just kind of move on? Well, everybody does it. So Jesus is addressing those who start out in a situation or who wake up in the morning thinking, I'm going to look for flaws and sins and weaknesses to point out. And he's addressing those who do it from a heart. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, every time we've talked about this, right? You can actually do the right thing from the wrong motive and it still be sin. But he's addressing the heart. And he's addressing the heart and saying if you're talking to others and caring for others and even trying to help others walk in the right way, comes from a place not to encourage, to help, and to build up, but instead from a place that's intended to destroy or to tear down. That's what he's calling out. He's saying that's the issue. Romans 12, or chapter 2, verse 1, later Paul, addressing the same thing, says, "Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." And so even as believers, followers of Jesus, with the best intentions, we're still discovering our sin, and we're still seeking to grow in His grace day by day. And that is for every single one of us in this room who are followers of Jesus. So when we judge in this way that that Jesus is warning against, we're not living from the heart of the gospel. And that leads us to our second point, which is, I think Jesus is showing that we need to be merciful. Look at verse 5. "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." How is that merciful? Well, I think what Jesus is pointing out here is that we regularly need to deal with our own sin to be able to help others in their sin and struggle. Notice, Jesus doesn't say, don't ever help each other in the sin and struggle. He says, first deal with the log in your own eye. Let's talk about that for a minute. It makes sense of Jesus saying this here when we remember that this is part of Jesus' sermon that Jesus started back in the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes back in chapter 5? One of those Beatitudes said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." And we said in that sermon, and repeated a couple times since then, that we need to remember that it is unequivocally always the case. It's always fun when we say things like that, right? Unequivocally always the case that we have sinned against God more than others have sinned against us. Every moment of every day, that is true. If I need to unpack that biblically later, let me know. Right? That is always true. And as His righteousness is worked out in us, we recognize that again and again. We see it more and more. And that should fill us with mercy and compassion for those around us. If it doesn't, if that truth doesn't fill us with mercy and compassion, it's likely that we've deceived ourselves, or we've been deceived into thinking that our own need for mercy is small in comparison to others' need for mercy. And y'all, that leads us to this judgmental, critical heart. Jesus is reminding us continually, faithfully, to be aware of our sin, because that keeps us humble before God. And here's what happens at that point. Here's the beauty. When we keep addressing the log in our own eye, and the next log, and the next log, it helps us to see clearly the mercy that has been shown to us. And this awareness prevents us from having a consistent, continual, critical heart of everyone around us. It also keeps us from thinking that we're way better than someone else and can judge them because of how humble we are about our own sin. Because if that's really what we're thinking, then we're actually full of pride and arrogance. But true awareness of our sin will change how we view the speck, how we view other sin. And that enables us to show mercy. That enables us to be merciful. Sometimes that may show up, that mercy may show up by our choosing not to bring up something in someone's life at the time, because they may not be in a place to hear it, because you may not have the relationship to do so, but you pray for them that God might reveal it to him by His Spirit, or by someone else. And sometimes it might be by gently taking the speck, the sin, by talking about it in a way that shows genuine care for the person. Extending mercy by pointing to God's grace and His mercy. But we do that through honest questions with care and concern, not through harsh accusations, even if they come real quietly. The issue is what's going on in our hearts as we approach this. When we look at our sin versus the sin of others, what do we see? Do we see it as a bigger deal than theirs? And when we recognize it, here's what's important for us. When we recognize how big a deal our sin is, then we know where to take others who are in sin, who are guilt-ridden, who are ashamed. Because y'all, we have been rescued. If you are a follower of Jesus here today who confessed your sin before Him, who know that He alone is your hope, you have been rescued, you have been made His son and daughter, and we are both to live from that, and we are to extend that to others. We have the place to take people. A forgiven heart wants to help others find the same mercy that we have found. It doesn't want to rip others apart, tear others down. And so if that's where you find yourself this morning, I want to encourage you. Lord, remind me not just in my head, but in my heart of what I've been forgiven of. Remind me of your mercy and your love to me. Lord, help me to show that mercy to those around me. But then there's one other piece to all of this, and that is that those who are merciful in their judgments are able to practice true and caring discernment and seek to practice this discernment on a regular basis. So the last piece is that we would practice discernment. Look at verse 6. He says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." The Pharisees here in this are who Jesus is actually addressing here, because the Pharisees actually would think that the pigs, which they would consider the most unclean animal, the dogs that are being spoken about here, that those are the Gentiles. Those are the non-Jews. Those are the ones that are not like them. That's who they would be thinking. But if you think about what Jesus has been teaching throughout this whole Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is saying here is, no, followers of Jesus, don't throw that what's holy, don't throw the pearls before the Pharisees. They're the pigs. They're the dogs. All right, why? Whole context, the why is that because of their judgment, because of their lack of ability to be merciful and forgive, because they're sitting high above everyone else, because they will not surrender to God in His way. They've made up their own. Some say that this passage means that we don't offer the gospel to those who are against it. Just a little thinking as you think about understanding God's word. Biblically speaking, why do we know that's not true? Why can that not be true, that he's saying don't offer it to those who are against the gospel? Because every person in this room was against the gospel until we heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit softened our hearts to receive it. Right? If it means don't preach to those who are against the gospel, then nobody gets it. So if that's not it, what is holy? What is this pearl he's talking about? We know it's of great value because later in chapter 13, he talks about the merchant who goes out and a merchant of pearls who goes out, finds a pearl in a field, and it was of so great value, this pearl, that he went and sold everything he had, right? Sold everything he had and bought the field so that it had this thing of great value. So it's of great value, but what is it? Well, I think as we put all this together, and in that parable that Jesus tells later, it's pointed out that this is the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. I believe what Jesus is teaching here, that thing that is holy, that pearl, is the assurance of the gospel that comes with surrendering our lives to Jesus as our Lord and our King. And so Jesus is saying we're not to be granting false assurance to those who refuse to surrender their lives to the Lord, who refuse to continue to examine their lives and what God is showing them through His Word. It's not for those, this beautiful thing of great value, this gospel, is not for those, this assurance now, let me come back to that, this assurance is not for those who claim the name of Christ Jesus without confessing sin, without continuing to submit and surrender themselves to Jesus Christ as Savior, but also as Lord. It can become very common because it's easy to think of Jesus as our Savior. But if we are not surrendering to Him as the Lord of our life and the one who knows what is good and right for us, then we don't really know Him at all. And what I think Jesus is saying here is don't give that false assurance. Don't give that false assurance. Practice discernment. Practice mercy-driven discernment. And we have to approach this in ways that He's showing, though. Okay, and I want to come back around to two truths here at the end. We have to practice this in the way that He's showing, asking God for hearts that are merciful and compassionate to others, because two things are true at the same time. And I think you've probably picked up on this, but I'm going to say it in a different way, hopefully more clearly. The assurance of God's love and His mercy is real for those who are surrendered to Jesus. It is real. It cannot be taken from you because it was given to you through the work of Christ. So that assurance is real. And at the same time, we need to not give false gospel assurances to those who are refusing to surrender to Jesus. And so we must practice discernment. And it's in that context that another verse that is said often is stated here. I can't go through everything in between there and what I'm getting ready to share, but in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Right? In this context of judgment, then he goes in and talking about praying for people. But then you come to this, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. Be merciful. Come at it always with this heart of mercy and love and care. And don't give false assurances. Call people to come to our Lord Jesus Christ. For you today, for me today, as we go into this week, as we conclude this series, if we are practicing, mercy in our judgment because of the mercy we have received, that is going to look very different to this world around us. Because we live in a culture that is about as judgmental as it can get at this point. It is, if you don't agree with me, not only do I think you're wrong, I hate you. If you don't agree with me, you're dumb. If you don't do things the way I think you should do them, you're dead to me. I could go on and on. be merciful in our judgments. And the assurance is real as we are surrendered to the work of Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, when we talk about things like this from your word, we're just acutely aware, Lord, of how much we need your mercy. We thank you that you have not treated us as our sins deserve, but instead, Lord, in your deep, great grace through the work of your Son, Lord, you have called a people to yourself. And so, Lord, we ask that you would fill us, Lord, with the mercy and compassion you have shown to us. You would fill us with that mercy and compassion to those around us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.